welcome to the Personnel Today Friday podcast. I'm Rob Moss and I'm joined by Louisa Peacock. First, some news. Employment experts have cast doubt over the CIPD's predictions that 500,000 public sector jobs could be shed in the next 5 years. The CIPD has said its analysis of the three main political parties' manifestos concluded that it was probable that the 5.8 million core public sector workforce could be reduced by 10% by 2015. But Nigel Meagher, who's director of the Institute of Employment Studies, said that while the CIPD was right to draw attention to the fact that public sector employment will fall after the election, it's wrong to try and quantify this with dramatic claims of 500,000 job losses. Graduate schemes and apprenticeships at a number of high-profile employers are continuing to be inundated as youth unemployment reaches record levels. British Gas has revealed this week that it received more than 65,000 applications for 600 schemes, more than twice the usual number of candidates. Mobile operator Vodafone told Personnel Today it received more than 3,000 applications for 50 places on its graduate scheme launched last year, while Debenhams has received 2,000 applications for the 25 graduate training places available this year without advertising beyond its own website. The news comes as the latest unemployment figures released on Wednesday revealed that youth unemployment now stands at 929,000 and would have hit exactly 1 million without the 71,000 quarterly jump in student numbers. Okay, first, Louisa, obviously organisations have found it quite difficult in the last week as a lot of their staff coming back from the Easter break was stranded abroad. What have businesses been doing?
Yeah, thanks Rob. Something like 150,000 Britons were trapped abroad due to the volcanic ash fallout, so the eruption in Iceland. And obviously within that group, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of employees that couldn't get back to work. So it has been a pretty big issue, reminiscent of the snow chaos caused earlier in the year when employees, through no fault of their own, could actually get to work. The same issues from the snow chaos came up this time around as well in terms of whether employers should have to pay staff who can't make it to work. Unions said what they usually say, and that it's not fair to basically penalise staff who can't get to work through no fault of their own, but employment law has it, and we've spoken to employment law experts, that employers are well within their rights not to pay staff or to make them take unpaid leave if they can't get to work. And so we've literally been ringing around lots of employers from different sectors to ask them what they've been doing, and towards the end of the week it came out that supermarket giant Asda is one of a few employers literally bucking the trend and saying that it will pay staff who are still stranded abroad.
Okay, and why have they chosen to do that?
Well, they've got 38 staff away on business and around 250 on holiday. Those were the figures that at the start of the week when the disruption started. And they were intending to pay back the 38 staff away on business, but they actually said it's not fair to really sort of single out those colleagues on holiday as well. So just as part of a good best practice employer and a good employer brand, they want to just basically help out their staff where they can. Hilary Savage-Martin, who's the head of colleague relations and policy at Asda, said that we decided it wasn't right to pay those on business but not those on holiday. The concern we had was that people were running out of money. We are also looking at helping colleagues who are financially burdened on an individual basis. So they're really taking steps and taking advantage of this, if you like, to get their name out there, and it's good PR for them to pay up.
And how much have they paid?
Well, they told us it would be a six-figure sum. They were unwilling to go into the actual details, but it's quite a significant amount of money. We're talking a couple of £100,000 here, I'd imagine. So, and it's up to 2 weeks that they're going to pay affected employees. So it's not a light decision they've had to make, but like I say, it's bound to be good for their PR, because rival supermarkets, Tesco and Sainsbury's, confirmed to Personnel Today that they weren't going to do that, or not yet anyway. They might change their minds, of course, once they see the good press that Asda's getting out of this.
Are there any obligation at all to do this? I mean, I gather there's no legal obligation, but I mean, surely Asda is sort of showing what you can do in terms of employee engagement and motivation and, like you say, good PR.
Well, you're right, there's no legal obligation to pay staff who cannot get to work, but the unions have already warned that they will resist any attempts to dock pay. There was a case earlier in the week, a teachers' union said that teachers stranded abroad shouldn't have to feel the pain and shouldn't have to have their salary docked just because they can't make it to work through no fault of their own. And there are threats of industrial action if councils decide to dock pay. But I think, like we've said, there is every right for employer to dock the pay because that's what's in the employment contract.
Okay, well, thanks, Louisa. There's loads of information about coping with the fallout from the volcanic ash disruption on personaltoday.com, so take a look there for more advice. Right, thanks for that then, Louisa. I gather also this week you're at the CIPD's HRD conference and exhibition in London.
Yeah, that's right. I went down to the events in London just to check out really what everyone's talking about. A lot of people at the event, learning and development specialists, as well as HR, core HR people. So it was good just to find out what the key topics were. I went to one presentation which was hosted by Jackie Orme, the CIPD chief executive, and IBM, the IT giant, about transforming workforces in the future and what the HR challenges are coming up in terms of workforce planning and talent management. It was quite interesting because the IBM Human Capital Management Consultancy, which was there speaking at the event, said to Personal Today afterwards that it actually envisaged its permanent workforce dropping in size quite drastically over the next couple of years and instead looking to hire subcontractors. So at the moment, IBM employs something like 399,000 employees worldwide. And he was saying that by something like 2017, that figure could actually go down to about 100,000, with the view that this people that would no longer be on the permanent books would be on some sort of contracting book, and therefore IBM would get rid of its overheads, its pension costs, its building costs and everything else that comes along with hiring permanent employees. So they insisted that it wasn't job cuts and insisted it was literally a sort of obviously a cost-saving measure for them, but the employee would still get paid and the employee would still have a job, albeit under a different named employer. But it's potentially the way things are going, according to many outsourcing experts.
Clearly this is happening in the IT sector. Is it likely to happen elsewhere?
Well, I've spoken to many outsourcing experts because essentially that's what this is. It's outsourcing, but on a massive, massive scale. So rather than just outsourcing in back office functions like HR or payroll or IT, lots of experts I've spoken to say it could actually be extended to front office functions and across sectors. It's not just the IT sector. We're looking at manufacturing sector, the oil and gas industry, any sector really where the contracting model can be seen to work. And of course, it's public and private sector as well. It's not just your big corporate conglomerates. It could be applied in the public sector in the UK, for example. Especially we know now that public spending has to be cut back quite significantly. This could be a way that the government looks to get people costs off its books.
Okay, well, thanks, Louisa. Okay, that's it for this week. You've been listening to the Personnel Today Friday podcast. I'm Rob Moss and I was joined by Louisa Peacock. Please tune in again next week. Until then, goodbye.